to listen fast. Because if there's more minutes that have to be added to the sermon, it's because you just weren't able to take it all in. No, we're going to try our best to stay within the 20-minute time slot. And I'm honest truth, I just really feel the love of the Lord just to talk to you tonight. And, of course, to the campers, to the workers that will be going down. But also, I think you will see you can actually kind of correlate a lot of things that are with it. And so Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we're going to look tonight at fun, friends, and faith, three elements to having a great camp experience. A lot of words, fun, friends, and faith, literally three things needed to have a great church camp experience. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, please stand on in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. We are looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, and we will look at several portions of Scripture. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, kind of set it up real quick, Solomon, writing under the inspiration of God, if I wanted to learn different aspects, if I wanted to learn basketball, for example, I would want to learn from the experts. I remember when I was learning how to golf, I actually rented it was a free video from a local video store. This is years ago. And I think it was Jack Nicklaus, and he went through every club in the bag. And I remember watching that, and I would take hours of watching that. It never helped me, really, but I learned the different clubs, and I learned it. And the reason I did is I learned it from the expert. So if we wanted to learn a little bit about life, it's interesting when you look at Solomon, who was a wealthy man. He was the wisest man in all the earth apart from Jesus, and yet he's going to write about life. So young people, if you will, Solomon is an expert of what not to do as far as with his life. But now he's older and he's looking back, no doubt he's looking back on his life. He's writing this great book on the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And he's going to tell us really what matters most in life. So we look at verse 1 and Solomon writes, he says, "Remember now," present tense, "remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth." Notice that. He's an old man now. He's an older gentleman. He's lived his life, if you will. But he's really captivated by this thought of youth. He's captivated by the aspect of serving God while you're young. He then says, "While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." He then begins, if we won't read it for time, but he begins to tell us about aging and how we age and how things, the body slows down. And, you know, now sometimes the body slows long before the mind does. And really, you know, things we used to do that we can't do anymore, but it takes us several doctor's visits to realize we can't do them anymore. But Solomon is writing. He wants us to understand our youth and the importance of it and the importance, young people, of serving God in your youth. So let's pray and we'll ask God's blessing on the remainder of the service. Father, we love you. Help us love you more. Bless, we ask, dear God, in our short time that we have left to just pour into these young people, Lord. We do know it's going to be short, but God, we do pray that it will be relevant, that it will speak, that your Holy Spirit will have power, God, as he does every time your word is preached. For it's in Christ's name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Three elements to having a great camp experience. Now, when you look at this portion of Scripture, the first thing that I want to talk about tonight, and just briefly, because it really goes without saying, one of the things that we want you to do in camp this week, young people, and even the adults, we want you to have fun, right? Camp needs to be a fun experience. You don't want to go to, now I will say, a lot of having fun with camp comes down to our attitude. If you go into this week's camp experience with an attitude saying, well, you know, I don't know if I'm going to have fun, I'm going to blah, 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 chances are you're not going to have fun. But if you go into this camp experience with an attitude of saying, you know what, I'm going to have fun with every fiber of my being, I'm going to make this a fun time, I'm going to make this a fun experience for myself, I truly believe, and we truly wholeheartedly believe, that you're going to have a fun time. You've earned it. You've worked hard. Most, if not all of you, were able to make it out to the different work events and the different, you know, different things. And parents were great this year as far as, you know, taking over some of the things and planning activities from the Texas Roadhouse thing. I think $600, I believe, Brother Stephen, roughly. About $600. I mean, it's just tremendous what you guys have done and you've got together. And the reason we want you to have fun is because and adults, maybe you could amen this or really believe what I'm about to tell you. Life is short, isn't it? And I'll be honest, you may not believe this, but in my mind, now I know there's decades involved, but in my mind, it seems like just yesterday, I was sitting where you guys are sitting. I was 16 years old when God saved me. And I remember going off to camp we went to Hammond, Indiana. It was our first trip. And I remember going there and to a Keene conference and then going to Camp Monticello. It's hot up on Camp Monticello. You remember Camp Monticello? Going there. But I remember one of the things, looking back over my teen years as a Christian, man, I remember having a lot of fun, and we want you to have fun. But the second thing, and here's where we're going to go back in Ecclesiastes, go to chapter 4. We're doing pretty good so far. You say, what happens if you go over 20 minutes? There's a trap door, and this door will open, and I'll be eaten by crocodiles. Some of them are like, pray for the crocodiles. That'll be a bad taste in their mouth. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. The second aspect of having a good camp experience, we want you to have fun, but the second thing involves friends. You know, the Bible speaks much about friends. The Bible talks much about friendship and men that had good friends. You know, David and Jonathan are a tremendous example of what good friendship is. And it's important to have friends. Now, we live in a culture, maybe you've heard people say, well, I don't need anyone. Maybe you're a teenager that says, I just don't need friends, and I don't want friends, and I don't need friends. Well, that's not true. God didn't make us and create us for isolation, right? He created us for relationship, and I hope you'll hear that. He created us for relationship, and to be quite honest, in the context of friends, I'm going to give you some information that I found that I think will be of interest to you and will help you to develop and cultivate true, good friendships that are worthwhile, that mean something. So Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. So again, Solomon is writing, and he says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, Ecclesiastes 4, verse 10, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, literally his companion. But woe to him, notice the words, young people, and adults alike, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Wow. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So Solomon now is talking about friendship. He's talking about the importance and the value of friendship. One of the things my wife and I do when we're counseling these couples is we overwhelmingly tell them one of the goals for your marriage is to honestly, truly become best friends. Do things together, learn each other, become experts of each other. And I say that at their ceremony. It's your job as the husband to become an expert of your wife. It's your job as the wife to become an expert of your husband. And that's based on Peter's words in 1 Peter about dwelling with our wives according to knowledge. We got to know each other. But in the context of friendship, there's one road. He says, there's nothing more sad than a man who is friendless. Turn to Proverbs. Just turn back, literally just a couple pages to find Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs chapter 18. You guys are doing well. You're listening fast. Look at Proverbs chapter 18. Now, over the years, and I've heard this, and I've heard people say, well, I just don't have any friends. Well, before God, I think I can give you some things that will help you to develop friendship, true friendship. The Bible says in Proverbs 18, verse 24. Did you find it? You guys found it? All right, look at verse 24, young people and adults. This is tremendous. A man that hath friends, look at this. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Did you see that? A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. In order to have friends, you got to be a friend. You got to be a friendly person, right? And the writer of Proverbs is telling us, he's telling us a key and a secret and a tremendous ingredient to cultivating friendship. Now, I will add, there's two things, and in adults, you can write this down as well. It's not just to the young people. There are two things that are toxic to friendship. There are two things that will kill friendship more than anything in the world. Number one is unrealistic needs. Unrealistic needs. Now, what do we mean by that? In the context of unrealistic needs, it is the need to always be right. You ever met someone that will die before they admit wrong? They've always got to be right. Well, I'll just tell you, if you're that type of person, you're going to be hard-pressed to find friends. Because friends, you know, and young teenagers sometimes have that they will die, literally, proverbially, of course, they will die before they will ever admit fault and they'll ever admit wrong. The problem with that is you're not perfect. There's none of us that are perfect. And as we'll see in just a moment, we are all at best flawed creatures that have our quirks and we have our things that, of disappointments, these unrealistic needs. So what are some thoughts under this? Two things. This unrealistic need, this need to always be right, toxic to friendship, to cultivating friendship, it has the aspect, this type of person is a person, this type of person that has this unrealistic need idea, this type of person not only always has to be right, they always have to be in control. Toxic to friendships. People, you ever met teenagers like that? Young people, you ever met teenagers like that? They've got to be in control about everything. You're not going to have too many friends because friends won't tolerate that. People won't tolerate that. Friends, this type of person, the only way you're going to be, the only way that you can be their friend is to see what they see, to want what they want, and to do what they want to do. You're not going to have friends, these unrealistic expectations. So there's a second thought under this. So there's the always, you have to be in control. Here's another one. It's the need to always win. Now listen, I'm all for giving everything that you got and going for the win. I'm all for that. But be careful of developing a win-win spirit, win or nothing spirit. You ever met people? Let me illustrate it. Young people, you've seen this. Young kids have seen this. Adults, sadly, can be this way. I'm for competitiveness. I love competition. I think it's great. I love competition. But you ever met somebody that's a sore loser? I can't believe I was cheated. And they're acting like a fool. You know, you ever met people like that? Some of you are scared to nod your head because there's that person sitting right next to you. You ever met somebody like that? Well, again, you're not going to have good friends. You're not going to have friendship with that type of spirit. If they don't win, they throw a fit and they're sore losers. You're never going to have real friends if you're this way. So the unrealistic needs, but here's the second thing. We give you a few thoughts, subpoints under that main point of unrealistic need. A second friend, a toxic thing that will kill friendships is unrealistic expectations. Unrealistic expectations. Friendship takes work. It doesn't happen automatically. It happens as a result of a want to and a determination and a discipline and persistence and paying a price. One of the keys to having a really good camp this week will be friendship. Friendship is important. Friendship is valued. Say, yeah, but Pastor, I want more friends. Well, put the effort into it. You know, don't always have I'm going to win or die. You know, if I don't win, I'm going to be mad at the world. Listen, that's not life. That's not reality. You know, don't have the attitude of, well, you know, in order for them to be my friend, they got to do what I do. They got to like what I like. They got to say what I say and see what I see in order to be my friend. Well, the problem is you're not going to have friends if you have that type of spirit. You're going to be isolated. They're not going to be to want to be around you. What's some thoughts under this unrealistic expectation? Here it is. Number one, expecting people to be perfect. Expecting people to be perfect. You know, my best friends, is, you know, outside of my wife, she's been my best encourager throughout my life, marital life. But Jeff Fain and Andy Daugherty, But do you know this? Don't tell them this because I don't think they realize this. Do you know that Andy Daugherty and Jeff Fain, they're far from perfect. You know what? At best, they're sinners saved by the grace of God. But here's what I'll let you in on a little secret. So am I. I'm not perfect, neither are they. One of the keys to true friendship is understand that people aren't perfect. You know, Paul talks about it. We won't go there for time, but Paul talks about in 1 Timothy, about Timothy, who was his, you know, he was a companion. He was a brother to Timothy. Paul was like a father in the faith to Timothy. But they were true, genuine friends. And there was another man, I think his name was Epaphroditus. There was another man there that was a dear yoke fellow of Paul, and Paul loved him. But so what's the significance of this? The significance is the fact that, you know, we're not perfect. And expecting people to be perfect will kill friendships. I will say this in the context of marriage. And it's true. Unrealistic expectation is often a crippler in marriages. Be careful. Be careful of setting a precedent that's not realistic. Expecting people to be perfect. Here's another one. Expecting a change in the other person. Well, if you're going to be my friend, you're going to have to change. Well, you're not going to have a friend. So this week going into camp, how to have a tremendous camp week. Man, just really concentrate of having fun, but concentrate also of really developing friendships. You know, honest truth, I mean this, and you may not understand this, but in your youth group right now, young people, are friends, before God, they are friends that could last a lifetime. Brother Jeff and Brother Andy, they were in my youth group. They were much older than I was. Much older than I was. But they're my friends, and they're my best friends in the world. We're all flawed creatures. Let me move to another thing. And the third thing is faith. Have fun. Work on your friendships. But the last thing is faith. How to have a good camp experience. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'll close with this. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let me give them to you. Here's a thought. You can write this reference down, Romans 10:17. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is important. You know, very intentionally, young people, we're sending you to a camp that's going to have preaching, that's going to have prayer, that's going to have, you know, praise and worship, it's going to have all those kind of things. But we're sending you to a camp that is, and I've never been there, but I know through Brother Stephen and Joe and Melissa and Jen and listening to them and hearing your testimonies, we're sending you to a camp that is spiritually focused. And the reason that we do that intentionally. Yes, we want you to have fun. Yes, we want you to build friendships. But we want to grow your faith and develop your faith. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I'll give you two things. What do we do in the context of our faith? Well, Peter tells us here, just real quick. Verse 3 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Skip on down. He says in verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, your faith is in the Lord Jesus in salvation. If you don't have Christ your Savior and you're going to camp, that's great too, because you're going to have an opportunity to place your faith and trust in Christ. You're going to hear the gospel. You're going to hear the fact that what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, he did for you, as if you were the only sinner on the planet, he did that for you. So, but for those of you that are here tonight that are saved, that know Christ as your Savior, you say, Pastor, how can I increase my faith? How can I do that in a camp experience? Well, you can do it, yes, preaching, but through prayer. And here's a prayer that I would encourage every one of you young people to pray and every one of you adults to pray. Yes, it's camp, but a prayer should be, Lord, give Brother Capace the messages that I need. God, give Brother Capace the messages that I need. Because here's what I do believe. He's a man of God who has a heart for God. He's a man of, you know, devotion to the Lord. He seeks God's will and direction in his sermons. And I believe the Lord can answer your prayer. But here's another way to enjoy camp, and just ending on this, here's another thought. Now, I'm done, so we're done with the sermon, but I'm just giving an invitation now, so you can't charge invitation to my time. You like that? I wholeheartedly believe that what I'm about to tell you may be the greatest advice I could give you of having a great camp experience. And that is, be prepared. Or let me say it like this. Be pre-prayed, right? You know, sometimes we go to camp and we're expecting God to move, and it takes 2 or 3 days for God to move. And I think, honestly, the reason that is because we haven't prepared our hearts. We haven't prepared our minds. We haven't prepared ourselves spiritually to encounter God for that week. And it takes a couple of nights for God to just get a hold of the preacher and passion and the singing, and it really motivates us and gets a hold of us. But I would encourage you tonight during invitation, I would encourage you guys to do this. I would encourage you young people and adults to right there in your pew, or even come forward and just say, God, we're going to camp this week, but most importantly, Lord, we're going there, yes, to have fun and make friends, but God, we're going there to encounter you. We're going there to hear from you. So God, and honestly, guys, we're going there for God. Get this. Look up here. When you're praying, say, God, we're going there for you to do something radical in our hearts and lives. And God, will you please forgive me of any sin that may hinder you from working in my life? Forgive me of anything in my mind or my heart that would stop you from doing that? And go in there ready to hear from God. Let's stand, please, for hymn invitation. If you're here tonight, you do not know Christ, your Savior, sweet friend, we would never, ever in our ministry, in the service, without giving you an opportunity to repent and believe the gospel.